Is it rolling, Bob?
Yellow. Here we are once again in another lousy parking lot view position. I'm at Thompson Park, and I don't know, I guess every ethnic group in Scarborough is out here celebrating something or other. Maybe the Egyptian elections, and lots of people in colorful ethnic attire. And the park is full. Like, every single parking spot was taken. I found one. And I had to get out of that. It was my fucking cold. Oh, damn, I'm swearing again. My cold came back. I thought I was over it. Oh, shit, now it's starting to rain. And I just thought I could get away with it. You know, okay. So I was out last night. I went to this party I might have mentioned with the lovely Lisa. And at her house, I should say. Yeah, park condo. Kind of neat. King Street East, I guess, yeah. No, West. And I actually took the train to Exhibition and walked from there. So it was kind of a different part of Toronto to check out. Had an absolutely wonderful evening. It was a kind of a core group of friends that we used to hang out with. There was Rocco, Etobicoke Joe, and myself. And we were the ones who, met at the Megumi, hung out at the Rex and the 360 and so on. And then Rocco bought her boyfriend, who I got to know a little better this time, I'm really glad to say. I actually enjoyed talking with him. Although I think a lot of the time I was just trying to convince him all my crazy views were right and he should believe me. And then, of course, the lovely Lisa herself. So just kind of laid back, sitting on her little balcony. She has made it really cozy with some cushions and just sitting there chilling. I had a nice view of the CN Tower at one point, and it was just cool, hanging out with different people, people I don't see all that often, although all of them have been on the board of the Canada Japan Society. That's kind of the root of the connection. So I just got into it, you know. I'm sure I had a bottle of wine and two or three beer and a little toot, and that just launched me off. Yeah, it's terrible to confess this, you know. I'm struggling, boys and girls. I'm struggling because the Scarborough dude, sort of the mantra is just keep it real, be honest, be who you are. Don't try and, you know, present yourself in a certain way to look good. But I know if I was to just put this out there and somebody randomly, either my sons, for example, or my wife or anybody, or somebody else who might know me through my work or teaching, listened in and thought, what? God, what is he? Like, he drinks, he smokes pot, he just kind of gets wasted. Like, isn't he ever going to grow up? And it's embarrassing. And yet at the same time, I know very well this is what's keeping me young and making me feel alive. And it's not a dependency on drugs, you idiots! It's just being open-minded and being free and ready to experience the moment. And, no, everything I say is sounding all wrong. Like, oh, yeah, like, just, why don't you just buckle down and work, be serious? Like, why am I sitting in a parking lot now that it's raining here when, you know, I could have been at home? I did water the plants. My wife asked me before she left. She had to work today. Asked me if I could water the plants. And I went out back and I did. And I thought, you know, your life would be so much richer, so much better. Maybe you could take it up to a higher level if you learned gardening and cooking and you gave up this stupid fucking podcasting and all the shit you do and this self-indulgence, because I am so wrapped up in all of this right now. I'm just so tangled up. It's basically why I had to get out of the house and come here, because I needed again to talk to you. And man, it's bugging me. There's something unhealthy about all this. I don't know if you're getting a sense of it. Maybe you're going to get turned off and just stop listening. But I'm trying to sort of map my mindset, or, you know, what's going on in my head. And I feel, I told you earlier, now look, I recorded a whole lot of stuff after seeing the movie Prometheus. Some of it just garbage because I was high, and some of it, you know, maybe something of value in there. I don't know. And I don't know if I'm ever going to have the time to go through it all and edit and cut out bits or choose this and not that or whatever. Or maybe I'd be better just to say the hell with it all, you know, save it for some other time. And just march forward, starting with this clip as the beginning of a new Dixon Janes, and forget all the other crap. That's just a lot easier, because I don't have the time to do, you know, the editing and the piecing together and all the stuff that some people do, you know? It's sort of like that's your duty as a podcaster, and I'm saying, no, my duty is to stick to the method that I have, which is turn it on, start talking, and dish it out. And that's what I'm trying to do now. Anyway, I told you, in one of those clips, which you may or may not hear, that I felt I'd been tapped on the shoulder. I felt I'd received that little tap. Hey, dude, you got to do something. You gotta talk. You got to... But I wasn't sure what it was. And last night I struggled with it. Well, what is it? Like, first of all, who do I have to talk to? It's not the PAB audience, because they already get stuff. They already know. They don't need their thinking changed. There's another wider audience. I was on the train. I recorded some audio. I don't know if I'll use it here or not. Of a group of people, I guess in their late 20s maybe, heading downtown. Maybe they were going to the Pink Floyd concert. I don't know. Just loud. One of them was drinking a beer on the train. And all, I listened in, and it was just, all their cultural references were television and shallowness. There was nobody really thinking anything serious. Now, maybe this wasn't the time for that. This is how people get along. Keep it light, keep it lively. That's what people want. But I don't value that. In fact, I was convinced that these people weren't capable of anything else, even if they had wanted to. That this is all they know. What's on television? What are their favorite shows? And the only way they can communicate with each other is by talking outwardly about these things. Did you see this? You know, did you hear what Snooki said? And the message I want to give is no, turn to your friends. And I don't think any of these people talking outwardly the way they did really knew each other inwardly. You know, they might have, you know, who knows, they're probably having sex, some of them, and they were maybe friends and stuff, but you're hearing things. Oh, so-and-so doesn't like me, you know, so I'm not going to see her anymore. And, oh, did you see what so-and-so did at so-and-so's party? Oh my God, what a bitch. And all this shallow, stupid talking, and they think, oh, hey, if these people who've probably, you know, they're in Canada, they're Canadians, they've received a fair education, they've had a fair crack at life, if these people are stupid and ignorant and shallow, what hope is there for anybody taking the world seriously and trying to make it better? And it's sort of, that's where I felt, these are the people I have to talk to. These are the people I have to reach. Hey, wake up. Give yourself a slap on the head. And think back to maybe something some teacher might have tried to, you know, open your mind up to in school at one point. Some poem or some piece of literature or some idea in history or something that somebody was just trying to just open that door just slightly, and yet you're probably, no, hey, I just gotta get through. What is this shit? The guy's an asshole. Just didn't really take the bait and open yourself up to new learning, new experiences, a wider worldview. And I feel I have, because of my travel, because of living in a fucking bush village in Nigeria, because of living all that time in Japan, because of some of the things I've put myself through, and because I think about things all the time, about the world, about the politics, about, you know, these things. And maybe there's no meaning to it. That's just, yeah, that's fine. That's you, and that's boring. Don't tell me about it. But I think it's important, and I feel I felt, well, maybe then I should just do a Sunday sermon podcast. Just get right down to getting a message out. Really simple. 10, 12 minutes, you know, that's it. One message once a week. Here's what I want you to think about. And then, of course, the other voices rise up and say, hey, man, aren't you taking yourself a little bit too seriously? Like, who anointed you after all? And what makes you think what you have is really all that important? You know, why do you even pretend to think that your messages will actually, serve some good? Why are you getting wrapped up in this? Aren't you taking yourself just a little bit too seriously? And that's where I'm at now, okay? That's just what I want to tell you, that I struggle with this whole thing. I struggle with it, and it's I'm grateful for all the listeners I've had for so long who just seem to put through with this stuff, put up with this stuff every week and keep coming back. That's great. Thank you very much. But there's another sense of, come on, man. Are you losing it? You know, are you just starting to, lose a grip on reality? So that's all I can give you. So maybe, I'll tell you what I'm going to do now. I'm just going to say maybe there'll be some clips following this that were bits and pieces of some of those thoughts recorded in my car Friday afternoon after seeing the movie Prometheus, which, by the way, Chub Creek Dave didn't like. But I loved it, and I don't know why some people didn't like it, but you got to go in and suspend belief. Don't go in looking for a perfect. Don't see it as a movie. See it as entertainment. See it as something that's going to give your mind a little kick and, let you have some fun with some of the ideas they toss around. You know, because, I mean, again, I know. I had eaten the brownie before going. It changed everything. And, in fact, the people I was with last night didn't like it all that much. Nah, I liked Alien better. It wasn't that good. And I thought, wow, did we see the same movie? But the fact is, I saw it high, and it did make a difference. So there you go. It's like listening to the Dixon James podcast. Have you ever listened to this? Hi. It is a much better listen, much more interesting. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there. It's almost 5. I'm going to go home. I just needed to get out of the house and give you this start. So what may be following are some strange, random clips with crazy ideas and who knows. Or I may just say, fuck that. Nah. Skip it. You don't need it. All right. Thank you, and bye for now. Okay. We're going to fade that out. I'm sorry, I know you'd rather hear him than me at this point, but it is, of course, Tom Waits and Swordfish Trombones, but we got a podcast to do, folks. It's Monday evening, June 25th. I got to tell you, it has not been a good day. I should be drinking beer in the Say What with Dave Delaney and his friends. And I'm not. I canceled out. Just this cold came back with a vengeance. You know, I went out Saturday and partied it up. And Sunday felt like shit, and today not much better. So, I guess the body doesn't bounce back the way it used to, you know. That elasticity is gone. And I'm a mess. Not only that, I've already told you, when I get a little bit sick, I get just depressed and annoyed and in a bad mood and everything's angry. And like tonight, just trying to get the TV on, you know, and I got 3 remote controls, each with 50 fucking buttons on them. You know, in any combination of things. If I start off in the morning, no problem at all. Push one button, push one button, push one button. You know, power on, power on, power on. We're good to go. But as soon as my wife starts watching a DVD using the Sony DVD player, which doesn't talk nicely to the Samsung TV or the Toshiba or whatever it is, the digital cable box I've got, they just won't communicate. And then suddenly you got this screen that says, well, there's no message coming in from here. And then you're pushing buttons, and then you get angry because you're just stupid. You fucking thing. Oh, for fuck's sake. God damn it, what fucking button do I push now? Jesus fucking Christ, you stupid goddamn fucking TV piece of shit. Fuck, it's annoyed. Well, by the end of it, my wife basically threw me out of the house. She didn't physically throw me out, but she made it clear it was time for me to get out. And she was right. I had to take my son to the mall anyway. He's got to get some clothes for work. Starts work. Starts his shift tomorrow. This is good news. This is number two. This is Joe. And also, I'm trying to get him. He wants a BlackBerry. He needs some sort of communication tool. He hasn't had a phone for a year. And I was going to do that. And anyway, dropped him off and apologized for my bad mood. And I just, you know, like I say, you get sick, you get depressed, you get annoyed, you get angry. And on top of that, it was a really bad day. Like, just before I went out, my biggest burden this time of year is finding host families for my students. And I do it very, very carefully. And was very happy, made some progress, got two new families. And then had a cancellation today of, you know, for very good reason. And then there's another woman who sort of says yes and then says no and then says maybe. And it leaves you high and dry. So I've just had one fuck of a time, and it's just put me in a foul mood. My son said, oh, go to Chapters and go to, you know, Deja Vu, buy a CD or something. It was really nice advice for him to give me, you know. So I went into the shopping mall where I dropped him off at Town Center. And I thought, well, I'll just go in Kohl's and just check the magazines out. Maybe I'll treat myself to a magazine, a Mojo or something with a CD. Well, I go to where Kohl's used to be, and it's now an HMV. Like a garbage bin of an HMV, all CDs. $15, $10, $5. A fucking... Now you see it's a fucking goddamn cocksucking wind blowing up. Now we've got to close the fucking windows. Yes. Oh, I'm just in such a shitty mood. Anyway, I mean, I walked through that mall and all you fucking see, it's Zombieland. Fucking eye makeup shops everywhere. You know, fix your eyes, check your weight, do this. You know, burn off that hair. Everything was beauty and makeup. I was disgusted. It just, fuck, is this what we've come to? This is what our culture has come to. I just fear that people don't see it because the zombies go and that's what they want. Yeah, I want another clothing store and another boutique shop, and I want another one of these. And the one shitty bookshop, anyway, Kohl's, ever since Heather Reisman bought that, and Chapters, and what was it, Indigo, and combined them all, they've all gone to shit. Now you walk into fucking Chapters, and you're looking at candles and little gift ideas and scented this and that and gifts for... It's not a fucking bookshop anymore. The only authentic places left are a few good secondhand bookshops, like the Great Escape down on Kingston Road near Vic Park. In any city you go to, if you hunt around, you can find one or two real old bookshops. They're gone. They're not going to be here next century. Nobody's going to run that business. These guys don't make a living at it anyway. Nobody buys books. Nobody wants to walk around a second. It's me and my generation. We're fucking dead already. My time, my era, and that's it. And maybe that's what it sounds like. Oh, it's just some old crackpot. Die, will you? Your time is over, man. Get out of the way. If you don't like all that makeup shit and stuff, I like it when the girls look really pretty, you know, and guys should too. And guys should do their hair and shave their balls and everything too, you know. Take all that dirty hair out of their asshole. That's what guys should do too, you know. Yeah, Mr. Metrosexual. Thank you! Thank you! Oh, I am disgusted by the state of mankind. Yeah, oh, well, oh, are you? Oh, that makes a difference, doesn't it? All right, all right, all right. So I'm a little over the top. Sorry. I'm just... all the values seem so totally wrong. How did it get to this? How did it get to this state? How did people become zombies? That's why you have all these fucking zombie movies. Because that's what's happening. People's brains have been sucked out. People are just conforming. They're just buying. Yeah, that's what you do. You got to get a gift. Yeah, go to the shopping mall. They'll have gifts for you. Nobody's thinking anymore. Nobody's caring. There's no depth. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. I'm just getting warmed up. I haven't started. I am just so disturbed by everything I see. So, yeah, okay. Apologies if that's not very pleasant to listen to. I do want to do more than that, but my God. This is like 5 minutes in a mall, and I'm just, oh, get me out of here. Race for the exit. Get me out. So I did do the right thing, though. I followed my son's advice. I did not go into Chapters. Fuck you, Heather Reisman. Fuck you, Chapters, Indigo, Kohl's. Fuck you and your stupid fat gift shop, bookshop. Fuck you. I went to Deja Vu. Used CDs. Thank you very much. And I did the usual Pink Floyd. Yeah, nothing there I need. They did have La Vallée, Obscured by Clouds, I believe is the name of the movie, of the title song. But it was, you know, it was $15. It was a new copy. I'm not going to spend that. And More, which I believe I'd already bought. And I didn't see anything else I really wanted. And old, I looked for old bluegrass stuff. Nah, I couldn't find anything. And there was Jesus. Like, you know, honestly, the truth is, is this going to be a contradiction? I don't think so. But I get a much better deal if I go online to iTunes and look at some of those. You know, if I wanted bluegrass, bam, there's a set, you know. 60 top bluegrass hits, you know. $8.99. More than you'll get on a CD. It's sort of the way I've been buying my music lately. But I started listening to one song that was playing, and it just kept grabbing my ear. And I thought, wow, what's on there? And I felt bad. I just walked in. I hadn't talked to anybody. And you got to talk to people in stores. And I asked the guy, what's that playing? And it almost sounded like The Doors to me. And he said, oh, it is Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. And I said, I'll take it, thank you. So I took the song that he was playing in the store that day. This one is called The Good Son. Now, trouble is I can't play it because my CD player will take in a CD, but it won't spit out a CD. So once it's in, that's what you got. So now, forevermore, I'll be listening to Swordfish Trombones. And I'll have to rip this CD at my computer at home. Maybe I'll play a cut for you too. I guess I know. Maybe I'm a bit sorry for just screaming at you there, but I, honestly, it worries me. Oh, there's Half Mask, the little kitty cat, the one that's fed every night. What is he doing down here? He's got his own Facebook page. Well, yeah, they do. Anyway, I got a lot of work to do. Today I made some great progress, and now I'm just faced with this issue of, my God, I got students coming in less than a month, and I don't have homes for them. And it scares the shit out of me. Because there is no way around it. I have to. I always do. Never failed. But I don't know where to start next. Oh, my God. Anyway, I'm not going to share that with you. I thought I had some other... I don't know, nicer things to share, but I don't even want to get in the house till my wife's, you know, well, I just need to give her some distance from me, because I've been such a jerk. Oh, there's a part of me that really wishes I could mature and grow up and stop being so emotional. Like, why scream at your TV when the remotes don't work? Like, reason it out, but I can't. I mean, it's just, I'm just not all that smart. Okay? A smart person is rational. They figured, okay, that didn't work. All right, try this one. And they go through it in some orderly sequence. I just push the buttons and swear. And then when I see something like that in my kids sometimes, I think, well, hey, well, that's not the right way to behave. And wonder where they got it. But again, it's that old question. Is it, are you pre-wired this way that it's come down to my DNA that things don't work, you're going to have a short fuse and you're going to yell? Because, I mean, you can say they are learned behaviors, but I think also they may just be maybe inclined to be that way. Impatient, perhaps. Oh, man. I don't know what kind of a fucking mess of a podcast this is going to be. I don't know if I'm ever going to include the CD or the clips that I said I wouldn't. By the way, Dave of Chub Creek sure didn't think much of Prometheus. And I didn't let on that, hey, I did, but then I was high. And maybe that does make the difference. Maybe other people wouldn't like it all that much too. But I know, come on, Shane did. I think Shane did. And Craigor or whoever, part of the Vinyl Countdown crew, he liked it. So I don't think it was all that bad. It just depends on the mindset you go in with, you know? Jesus Christ, I don't want to talk about it. All right, I'm done. I honestly... Boys, girls, sometimes I really think I am losing it, and I am not long for, I was going to say not long for this world, which means you're going to die soon, but I don't think that's it, but man, I got to get my shit together. Sometimes I just get this thing that, yeah, I get life, I get it, I understand it, I can share it. And then there's times like tonight when I'm just a fucking stupid zombie myself. I'm hoping some of you out there are just as stupid as I am, and so you'll forgive me for it. If you've been listening for any length of time, you'll know I do get like this sometimes. But I just, you know, it's that old feeling. All right, you do something drastic. Stop alcohol. No drinking. And it's not alcohol-induced. I haven't had a drink for 2 days. It's not like that. It's just I'm looking for some... How could I change to make myself smarter, better, more efficient? How could I bring some discipline into my life? And yet, when I talk like that, it's like I'm going against all the other stuff I've learned that's got me through life this far, which means, no, I don't need discipline. It doesn't work for me. I got to go with my gut feeling, like... Today I had some things to do. Like suddenly I got thrown a curveball from Japan. I got a request for something I hadn't planned on. And I handled it. I knew what to do. I knew where to go. And then next thing you know, boom, 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 boom. I've made 6 bookings of all important, all that I've been putting off for days upon days and sort of nagging myself. Well, why haven't you done that yet? Why are you waiting? Why? Well, it turned out if I had done them, I would have had to change everything. But today, when I got that one extra piece of information, everything else fell into place. And I would have been wrong to sort of listen to that voice and say, do it now because you should do something today. You should work. And instead, I gave in to the voice, oh, I really don't feel like it. And more often than not, this is the problem, you see, more often than not, the really don't feel like it voice is the right one. Like, how does that work? How do you go against? Do you follow me? Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, I'm saying that nagging voice of reason, the what is it? The superego, maybe the one that's telling you all the right things to do. Do your homework before supper. May not be right. It may sound like, because everybody says, oh yeah, you know, do all the right things, work hard, and you'll learn this and that. But in my case, and maybe others, it may be that doing things by instinct, by your gut level, when it seems like the right thing to do at the right time, may serve you better. Okay? But it takes a lot of courage to do that. To go that way, to follow that path. And not give in to the nagging voice that's... The guilt trips, the, you know, the voice that comes in and says, you're lazy, man, you're lazy. Lazy's going to get you. It's going to get you in trouble. Honestly, good God, I don't know. Oh, man, have you ever heard such scrambled eggs? Because that's what this is, scrambled fucking eggs. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. Just don't fucking have a clue. So I'm going to end there. Get back to fucking swordfish trombone. Or, all right. Coming up now. Wow. But it's so refreshing. I've parked my car here in the cat section of Buffers Park. Oh, there they go. And pulled out the red chair from out of my trunk. Sat under a tree in it. I don't know if it was, there's a nest up there, but boy, those birds are saying, hey, man, this is our spot, not yours. It's a beautiful, beautiful sunny day here. We have had pretty fine weather. I mean, it's been hot. We've needed the air conditioner on. But hey, compared to what they're getting out west, the floods in BC and the amount of rain they've had, poor old Barnacle Bill, probably returning home today after his 2 weeks or 10 days camping trip. I don't know. It's been a rough time. But no, I heard from him in Jasper. Popped into a couple of bars there. So he made it. The car made it. Send you any updates if that's important to you. Probably isn't, but he is one of the characters. I do have a very interesting and wide range of friends, including some who actually listen to this podcast, but most of the people who listen to this podcast are friends that I've met as a result of this podcast. And the old-time friends from going way back will have nothing to do with the Scarborough dude. And that's fine. No problem there. Yeah, it's Tuesday morning. I've just come back from the college where my son will be attending this fall. This is number two son, and paid his fees for the first year in full. It felt pretty good. Put it on a credit card, and we'll, of course, get a lot of airline points for that. And on top of that, we had, of course, the money set aside for this. So I'll be able to pay for his 2 years of college. That's good. That's something that gets done. And if number one son, Frank, ever decides he wants to go back to school, and I kind of hope he does, boy, he's going to be one of those kids in debt. So we'll see how that plays out. I don't know. Yeah. I'm calmer than yesterday. Yesterday, I mentioned my wife pretty well threw me out of the house. And when I got home, my goodness, it was all, you know, are you feeling better? And very sweet and concerned about my well-being. Far more than I deserved because I really was being a jerk. Like, just, you know. But I guess what I wanted to share with you is that I think men handle stress differently than women. And it may be an excuse, but listen, it works. We just vent. We make noise. We hit things. We kick things. We smash things. And you can't do that with people, okay? Sorry, it doesn't extend
to people or pets. You're not allowed to do that. But you are allowed to swear and scream and yell and kick in a door, maybe. I don't know. It's crazy because you got to pay for it later. But we normally get that stress out of our system that way. It doesn't build up. And I don't think women have the same outlet. And so I think the stress tends to mount and manifest itself in different ways. It's just a theory, mind you, but it hasn't been proven wrong yet. So I'm feeling a lot better today. Physically, the same thing. I cannot believe the amount of yellow, slimy, thick snot that I'm able to produce as a result of this cold. You know, you can just blow your nose, like, you know, one blow, it's not one, it's at least four full tissues full of just, whoa, where is that coming from? But I always thought that was a good sign. Like, you're supposed to get all this crap out of your system. It's the road to recovery. So I don't know if that makes sense or not. Maybe one of you scientists out there can explain to me the meaning of snot. excuse me, cough is still there a little bit, but not too bad. Yeah, I'm sitting here looking out at the Lake Ontario, looking over at the Scarborough Bluffs, feeling just the joy of this breeze as it, you know, it lightly caresses you. It's such a nice feeling. And thought, I'm just going to give myself a few minutes down here. Still have the same problems I had yesterday finding host families. But I thought if I'm in a better frame of mind, I might find a more creative solution to the problem. I might find some way of coming up with a new idea, a new way to recruit new families and bring other people into it. You know, I need a little creative thinking going on here now. And that's what I'll do. Listen, I had a comment from someone. I'm not going to mention who the comment was from because it's sort of a personal back and forth I have with this person, a Dixon Jane's listener. They'll probably know who I'm talking about. And they said, dude, just keep on being honest and authentic and what was the word? I guess meaning speaking truthfully and from the heart, because even though I might not realize it, others are actually listening and tuning into this, and it does have an impact. And God, those words mean so much to me. It just, because sometimes you go out here, like, yeah, you know, the clip preceding this, I'm just screaming away about something, and I think, what is the point of this? Surely I'm only portraying myself as a bigger and bigger idiot. And then I'll get a comment like that, not with regards to this episode, but a previous one, and it suddenly just brings it all back home. And, oh, okay. So maybe if I just let myself go, sometimes in there may be a gem or something that touches someone. And the trick then is to not hold back and to not try to make yourself sound good. Because, I mean, to tell the truth, I mean, I am a little embarrassed about this whole thing. I mean, I was thinking in the car, if a person listened to this and said, man, that's a really weak man, I hate that. I think these are crazy terms because there's no full meaning to them. What's a weak man? What's a strong man? But it really hurts to be considered a weak man. Like if somebody said that to you, I'd feel really shitty. And God damn it, what do I have to do? And I don't mean strong in the sense of macho. I can beat somebody up or, you know, lift up a car to save a trapped child or any of the traditional sense of the world. It's just maybe it's strength of character. And all my life, when I was younger, of course, I felt weak as a kid through high school, you know, and wanted to be strong. And I feel I aimed my life in such a way that it did make me strong. And I've seen myself as a strong man. And yet, when I listen back to certain clips I post, you know, about just going out drinking, smoking, toking, talking, I may come across as a real, just a kind of a stupid man who's never going to get anywhere. And, you know, that's not true. I've already come a long way. Thank you. Yeah, I guess we all need a little bit of reassurance every once in a while. And so you can give yours by just occasionally, very rarely, not all the time, and not every week, because I'd hate that. And don't just send me a nice show, but a little a little clip, post a comment, or send me an email, dixonjanes@gmail.com, or, you know, even a tweet if there's something I say that connects with you, or, you know, has some meaning, or even if you disagree with something, that's fine too. I mean, part of this is to encourage a dialogue and have all of us be a little more authentic, a little more real. So it isn't to say I want people to always like the Dixon Jane Show, but I think if you're going to listen, then I'd like you to really listen, and if you find something in there that resonates, tell me. It makes me feel good. Okay, so I don't know how much more I have to add to that. I just felt I sort of needed to let you know I'm not in the same crazy state I was last night. I feel good about just getting one thing off the list, going and paying those fees in full for a full year. It's very satisfying, you know. I'm one of these odd people, and I actually get satisfaction out of paying bills. This must be also a genetic makeup, and I'm sure goes through generations on the paternal side of my family. That there's just something about us. This is the right thing to do. You get your bills and you pay them. And I do that. I've handled my finances as well as I could, although I've got to stop the bleeding. The flow of money going out through Bell, through Rogers. The other day, I got a phone call, Toronto Star subscription, some crazy price, you know, I don't know, 65 cents a week for 30 weeks or something of the Toronto Star, Saturday Star only. I didn't even have time to read it. It was Monday before I even picked up the Saturday Star and ended up throwing most of it out. I thought, what the fuck did I do that for? It's not even about being big money, but I don't need it. I don't have the time. I don't want it. Why did I even give in? And I really hope that someday, and here we go again with the old discipline problem, I could just sit down and say, okay, we're going to look at all the money flowing out of this house, and we're just going to stop the bleeding, just start cutting back here, here, and here. What is it we don't need? Rather than wait till I don't have any more money coming in, I should start this sooner rather than later. But with the summer as busy as it is, this won't happen into the fall. And by the fall, paychecks will be coming in, and it just won't be a priority anymore. And I'll just go on pissing away money the way I am. I have other friends who are just the opposite. They are as frugal as they can be. And I can't be that way. I don't understand that way of life. I find it actually makes me very uncomfortable the way some people take so much pride in how cheap they can be. And not necessarily cheap, like stingy, but just, you know, not giving an inch to anything, never buying anything, like never, ever, ever daring to buy a magazine because that's just a waste of money. And I think, okay, yeah, all right, yeah, people waste money on magazines, but come on. Has life got to be that strict? Like, what are you going to do with all that money you saved anyway? What's it all going to mean in the end? So, anyway, having said all that, number two son, Joe, is out to get his own cell phone today and contract and everything else. I better get home and advise him that, man, you know, $50 a month might not seem like a bad idea for a free phone, but that's $1,800 over a 3-year period, like $600 a year do you want to be paying for a phone? Do you really need that? So we'll see how it goes. And anyway, I got bigger fish to fry and things to do. Just want to mellow out just a little bit and let you know that your Scarborough dude is subject to mood swings, as I would be very surprised if you hadn't noticed by this point. And you probably are too to some degree. And never take them too seriously. Whatever state you're going through, it too shall pass. Okay, so we'll end right there and maybe give you another tune or wind this baby up. I don't know if you'll ever hear those clips from the last time I told you about the crazy clips from the front of a car, but we'll see. Bye for now. Sun go down to the water.
and see the women weeping there. Then go up into the mountain. The men, they are all weeping too. Father, why are all the women weeping? They are all weeping for their men. Then why?
Here we go again, for what it's worth. It's a, Tuesday, Wednesday. In June, June's almost over. July is my crazy time, and of course I'm not ready. And I don't want to drag you down with me for all the crap I seem to be wrapped up in. I just can't quite get a handle. I mean, I get up, and I guess maybe this cold has knocked me out, and maybe I should be seeing a doctor. Like, I just want a nap. I just want to rest. But the other thing is, I'm afraid that I'm using that as an excuse that really I'm just trying to shut out the world. When I have problems I can't solve, I just want to sleep, you know? I'm sure some of you do that. And I've got this issue. Today I decided, okay, what I have to do today is rebuild my homestead database. Now, Barnacle Bill says, you tell me this every bloody year. And it might be true that, you know, I decompressed and opened up FileMaker 7 on my MacBook and dug out old files from, you know, families. I mean, I've been doing this 20 years. I got a lot of host families I've been involved with. And the idea being that I'll go through all of them and maybe there'll be somebody from the past who might just say, hey, how about for old time's sake you host a couple of students again? And then I just get sidetracked with, well, how am I going to combine these? How am I going to add the new ones to the old ones? Well, you got to export them from one thing and import them into another. And then you got all your fields. None of them match up. And then I realized, well, gee, I've been doing it wrong all the time. I should have had one library of just single family names. And then with each of those libraries, and I use Obento, which I like. But with Obento, you could make collections, they're called. So I could have a library of all the names and then create a collection, say, you know, Homestays 2012. And then just add the members from that big main library to this collection. And that way I'd have a record. And then I'd also want a record of, okay, Homestays 2011, Homestays 2010, and so on. But it's a hell of a lot of work to go back because each of these separate libraries I made, my mistake in the beginning, I was making a library for each year rather than one library in the, because I didn't understand the concept of a library at the start, you know. A library being one main database and collections, smaller, you know, feeds from that thing. So to go back and add all these libraries together is a complete mess because each time I made a library, they were all slightly different in terms of which fields I had added or used. So in other words, I could spend all day accomplishing nothing. Like, by the end of the day, I will not have made a single phone call, even begun to track down a single new family. I will have just wasted time fixing a problem that I created, which really isn't a solution, right? It's just tinkering and avoidance. And it makes you really depressed. So what do? There's no coffee in the house. I go out and get Tim Hortons, and I come to Bluffers Park. That's how I deal with my problems. And Barnacle Bill says, hey, just take antihistamines. I don't know. In spite of what I said yesterday, I'm beginning to think I am a weak man. I have very little self-discipline. You know, and it's not even a quality I respect in people. When somebody says, I'm going to buckle down and get to it. And sit there and do these things, and they do it. I never admire that in people. I never think, wow, I wish I could do that. Isn't that amazing? I think it's just kind of robotic. Yeah, so you can program yourself to force yourself to do things you don't want to do. Yeah, and that's something great, is it? I don't think so. But who would admire my system? You just do what you want to do, and somehow. But the thing is, with my system, I've been doing this particular project for 20 years, right? And pulling it off every year and people coming back and leaving happy at the end of it. Like the girls cry, the teachers come back. You know, hey, the people who are involved want to be involved again. There's something successful about it somehow. Sorry, there's a PodCamp East or something coming up in September in, you know, where is it, in Delaware? Combining some of the other PodCamp Philly, I guess, and I don't know which. But anyway, it's out there, all right? Just go to the PAB page or the amateur podcasting page and check it out. September 30th or something. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. And their theme is on entrepreneurship. And I thought, you know, what an interesting switch that would be for me. Here I am talking about something I don't have time for, to do a presentation on being an entrepreneur, being a businessman, because I don't reveal that side of myself. But the truth is, I have pulled this off. I know what it takes to run a little business successfully. And, you know, given that I'm not that kind of person. Like, some people just comes easy, you know, since they were 12 years old, they were making money. Well, I have for that matter, you know. I mean, yeah, there's been a survival streak in me, and I think that's what's kept me going. But the little things, the priorities you make, the things that are important, how you sort things out, how you keep this going, you know, somehow I've pulled it off. And I should take the time, good luck, to examine what are those qualities that I do have that I don't own up to, but that somehow get me through this each year. What is it that's made this business stick and you know, work out such as it is? And it's not a, you know, it's not a small business. It's steady, you know. Anyway, enough of that. I got my Tim Hortons. I got my little spot down by the water. There's a couple on a picnic bench with, I don't know, looks like they bought in KFC or something, and they are surrounded by a flock of pesky seagulls. And it's just amazing. Like, they're just completely around it. Like, if these birds were a little bigger and a little nastier, they'd be dead by now, those people. They'd have their eyes pecked out. But they seem completely oblivious to them. Yeah, it's just life. These seagulls, not the smartest of birds. Anyway, I guess it's funny, I was feeling kind of shitty about this because I really don't know how I'm going to deal with this. My wife has been very kind and understanding of me recently, you know, with this cold. She went out and made some very special Japanese food for a friend who's dying of cancer. It's very, very sad. It's not something I want to talk too much about, but it's just one more of those qualities in my wife that, you know, this woman who she knows not very well, but just knew that sometimes you get a craving for certain foods that you just won't get in Canada. There's certain things, tsukimono and other stuff, that you have to be Japanese to know how to make. And my wife, you know, spent the time, prepared them, and brought them over to her, whether or not she was even capable of eating them. And is kind of amazed at this person's just matter-of-fact way of the fact that, yeah, no, she knows she's dying. There's no hope. She's got things to do. She's got to go to the bank. She's got to make her will. And my wife was wondering what it would be like if she were in that position. And I think I would be a little bit like my father was when my mother was dying. He just said, well, I can't survive without her, basically. And I remember convincing him, hey, she's not going to die. She's got cancer. She had a mastectomy, but she's not dying. Don't even think that way. And of course she didn't. She outlived him by many years. And I think I'm kind of have that same sort of stubbornness. I would will it on my wife to, no, I don't want her suffering. I just think, hey, I wouldn't be much of a use without you. Oh, life, eh? You look at those big picture things. Ooh, humping seagulls. You look at those big picture things, you know, the life and the death and the health. And then all the little things that go and make up our day and make something either a good day or a bad day. And then you do that stretch, like I say, owning up to the fact that we're aliens anyway and we shouldn't be taking anything seriously. And you wonder, what perspective are we supposed to have? What framework, you know, should we be holding up to see our lives through? I don't know. I just don't know sometimes. I know that I got things to do, and I'm just kind of hoping if I could talk to you and maybe even, God, heaven forbid, go back home and put this together as a podcast and get it out of my system, I could get on with the next thing. Oh, I just need to clear my mind, and I honestly, something about this cold, I got a headache now, I'm just not clear-headed, and I really, I could do with help, and that's the other thing. I don't own up to needing help very often. And this is a lot of things about this little business I run. Like, you know, I waste and have wasted an awful lot of time using software and doing things that somebody else who knew the way around databases or whatever could do just in a jiffy and hand it over to me and say, here, this is how you do it, and this is how she runs, and this is where you put your data, and that's how you want to keep it going. And instead, I felt in the past, I've had to do absolutely everything myself, and that's not always working smart. So for somebody out there who thinks, gee, dude, you're a nice guy, and I know a lot of stuff about databases and Macs, and Bento would be a piece of cake for me, and I could really help you. Well, volunteer your services, pal. I'll make sure there's something in it for you. But you got to get in touch. So I guess that's it. I guess I'll go back. I'll listen to Doug's Slug, and now I'll go and listen to what's his name, Mr. Marco. Well, he's been a busy boy with all this Flock stuff. I hope you've been tuning in. I hope you've been checking out Flock on the Facebook page. And go to Canadian Amateur Podcasters or the PAB Facebook page, and you'll find links to Flock. And find out what that is all about. And because I think it was very clear after the last PAB conference that people want more. People want more gatherings. People want more things going on. And it's going to happen somewhere, sometime. Okay. So we'll leave it there. Was I supposed to give you something else? Was there another piece of the puzzle? No? All right, we'll stop there. And if I think of it, I'll come right back. Bye for now.